From the Ugly Parrot Studios in Newcastle, California, the Loom Cigar Cartel presents Beyond the Humidor, a cigar podcast for the rest of us. Welcome back to another one. Scott Robinson with you here on another episode of Beyond the Humidor. We have a guest for this podcast, but I'm going to start off with a bitch. So bear with me for about 45 seconds. You guys are all acquainted with Tiny Wife, correct?
Yes.
You know how fastidious she is about cleaning the house?
Yes.
But one of the things she loves to do, and I like it too, because I like a house to smell nice. She buys these little scented things that you put in and you plug them into a socket. So you get all sorts of flavors depending on the year. And again, how she is, springtime, you got spring fresh flavors, all this stuff. But the one thing she does that I do not enjoy, she puts them in the bathroom, which would be okay, but the smells that she puts into the bathroom. I'll give you an example. In the fall, there was pumpkin pie.
Okay.
In the bathroom. Now, that doesn't sound bad, right? And if it smells authentic like pumpkin pie, that's a good thing. Or cantaloupe for summery weather. I do not want to smell pumpkin pie while I'm taking a shit. I don't want to feel like I'm eating a pumpkin pie while I'm taking a shit.
Wow.
Or cantaloupe. So now it fucks with me because I love pumpkin pie. So it's kind of like you get this suspicion, like the canary in a coal mine. So I start smelling pumpkin pie. It's like, oh God, it's going to smell bad now.
Like a trigger for you?
Yes.
If you were baking a pumpkin pie and you walk through the kitchen and it smells like, oh man, I got to go to the can.
Congratulations, you've officially made a Greg story. That's what you choose to start with?
Yeah, that's what I started with.
You just drove the gorilla out of the room.
Where the fuck did the gorilla go? I need the gorilla. So I wanted to introduce the gorilla first, but he's MIA, so we'll just start around the room and kind of just do filler until he gets here. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Doing great. Recovering from a cold and enjoying a very nice cigar, which we'll discuss later.
Okay. Well, since Greg made that so short, it's up to you for filler until the president of Gorilla Industry shows back up.
He had an emergency gorilla call. Greg got the sniffles.
Yep.
Jeez. Yep. We got, like Scott said, we got a guest today and smoking a fantastic cigar. So I think we're going to have to roll this without the gorilla.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we are sans gorilla temporarily. So let's just do introductions. So our friends, our guests are not just waiting in the wings for nothing. So I'd like to introduce a repeat guest, always welcome here at Beyond the Humidor. Let me introduce and shut up Kendrick Wilston Hume and Brandon Overson from Apostate Cigars.
Yay!
Live from the Beehive, or not so live because this is a recording, but gentlemen, how are you? And who from the Catholic faith did you steal that hat from?
We're doing great, and thanks for ruining pumpkin pie for all of us. Yeah, appreciate that.
No problem. So everybody who's listening, that's just going to fuck them up.
Child has been ruined also. All the good memories.
Cantaloupe. Yeah.
This pumpkin pie smells like shit.
Hey, Matt, it's good to have you guys back.
Welcome.
Good to be here.
All right. Well, let's get into what we're smoking for this episode. The Sword of Laban. Now, I have not had this yet. I think when we were planning to have you on a while ago, Greg was good enough to bring some of these back for us. And he said, don't smoke this until the show.
No. There was a very kind, benevolent gentleman who now hates pumpkin pie that gave us a set of four for the show. And yes, but Brandon, last time he was out here, you know, made sure we had some.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
So yours is aged quite a while. These for the gorilla and Larry and I are not.
Ah.
Yeah, that was back in July. Holy hell.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Wow.
So I just tucked it away, waiting for the time that I could smoke this.
Yeah, the rest of us couldn't wait.
Yeah, not me. I smoked the shit out of it, and I bought a bunch of them from TR since.
Yeah, you got more discipline than I do. I can't wait.
Oh, man, that was...
Ah, just in time for the choo-choo train. Hey, Gorilla, how you doing now that you're back?
The gorilla is doing well.
Good for Gorilla. So let's get back to our guest. Lots of exciting stuff coming out of the Apostate Shop. You showed us a couple of them before the show. A couple of new releases.
Now.
So talk to me about the Sword of Laban. We'll get into those later, but let's talk about this one. I'm about to light this and first puff, so tell me about it as I light and smoke.
Sword of Laban, 7x47, Churchill, Ecuador Corojo wrapper, San Andres binder, and Dominican filler. It's like the softer side of Corojo. It's a very smooth, creamy, sweet, savory smoke that you can tease all sorts of flavor out, particularly in the retro hell is what you want to be paying attention to on that one. Okay. It's addicting, in my opinion.
You said San Andres binder.
Yeah.
Very nice. First impressions. Really nice smoke.
Yeah.
It's subtle at first. Very subtle.
It quickly became, out of all the releases I've tried, the six that are currently available, it quickly became my favorite. And that's hard because that Deseret, I think that's got to be my two favorite, is the Deseret and the Sword of Laban, because they just hit my palate perfectly. They're smooth, they're bold at times. It just depends on what the mood strikes, you know. And you'll forgive me for all of you that I can't taste a damn thing right now, so I'm remembering this from previous smokes. And no, it's not the dreaded 19.
Well, I think one of the best things about this stick for me, because I've smoked probably a dozen and a half of them now.
Jeez.
I hit Tobacco Republic pretty hard. This pairs well with I've got a Kentucky straight bourbon today. Pairs well with that. Pairs well with a darker beer. Pairs well with a dark with a heavy dark coffee. All three of those things have gone very well with this cigar. Great morning cigar with coffee. Great evening cigar with a bourbon or even a spiced rum, and great with a beer. So awesome, man. This thing is amazing, man. It's amazing stick. You guys have done some phenomenal stuff, but this is top notch for sure.
Thanks, man.
I'm going to say my favorite cigar out of Apostate thus far, and this is great. Don't get me wrong. But the Initiator, oh, man, that one's crazy. I love that one. Deseret's very good, too. But I still, when I look for Apostate, I look for the Initiator.
Well, you know, it was funny because, you know, the first time we met Brandon, and we didn't directly meet Brandon, we were given a bunch of the cigars, and that was the one. You had the Initiator, Larry had the Deseret, and I had the Lankey.
Liahona.
Thank you, the Liahona. It was one of those where it was like, amazing, perfect, wonderful. And then Brandon tries to wreck his car driving down the road listening to the show. Nice.
Yeah, that was a kind of a unique experience because all three of us are sitting there smoking one of the cigars, and all three of us are like, damn, this is one of the best cigars I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
And we're looking at the other two like, wait a minute, man. We're all smoking different cigars from these guys, right? Yeah. I'm like, this thing's amazing. Well, this one's amazing. Well, that one down there is amazing. I'm like, oh, shit, what have we got going on here?
Exactly.
And then it got even better because, you know, we had to, you know, Brandon magically appears at TR. And, you know, we're looking at Ron going, Ron, when are you going to get these in here? Because we're, you know, with that time we were recording at the shop. I'm like, Ron, we just smoked this amazing stick. When are you going to get here? And then like a month and a half later, I get this text message from Brandon. And he's like, hey, guess what? And I'm like, he's at the shop. Everybody run down there.
Yeah.
And then we were the first California store, weren't we?
I want to say, yeah, I
got to be one of the first.
I think you were the first California store. Yeah. That's so awesome.
Fantastic. I'm anxious to hear about some of the new stuff coming out. Talk to me. What is the next release?
Since we missed PCA. Yeah.
So this is number 7, Moroni's Trumpet.
Okay.
And it's got a San Andreas Oscuro wrapper on there. And we use a Dominican Allure binder. And the filler, we use Connecticut broadleaf and 3 different Dominican leaves on the filler.
It's rich.
It's very rich, decadent cigar. It leaves no part of your palate untouched in some way. And the retro hell just has all kinds of delicious things going on. We're really, really excited about it. Yeah. Think like a cigarette, but on steroids, maybe a little bit, just like a little extra oomph.
If you turn up the Deseret and then add just a little more complexity.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Believe it or not. Yeah.
For the listening audience, may I ask, what are the what shape and dimensions of the cigar?
It's a torpedo that's 6 inches long by 56 ring gauge.
Lovely.
That thing looks amazing, man.
Yeah,
we wanted it to be, you know, like a Yeah, we want it to be like a trumpet. And trumpets, you know, are loud too. So we wanted it to be kind of the loudest of our blends. And by that, it's still very much an apostate blend, which is super smooth, right? All of our blends are very, very smooth. The tobacco that Hochi has for us is just very decadent tobacco. But it's just probably the most body, the fullest body of all of our cigars.
It's everything we've done so far, but amplified. Yeah.
All right. Well, I got to ask, how do you come up with these flavors, man? Because no lying, I'm not bullshitting just because you're here. Rocky Patel's known for experimenting and mixing some stuff up, but you are one of the few cigar lines. I mean, you have created cigars and have not missed once. How the fuck are you coming up with these formulas, for lack of a better word, to bring all these flavors together?
I'm getting the feeling they feel they've missed a once or twice.
No, I'm saying they've never missed. That's what I'm saying.
The problem is we're maybe a little too aware that we haven't missed yet. It's one of those, like, you want to be humble, but at the same time, you want to kind of toot your own horn sometimes and beep, beep, you know what I mean? So it's it's just us having fun, man. When we're in the blending room, Hochi gives us carte blanche. We get to do whatever we want. And we just get creative. Mostly we're thinking, what do we want to smoke? What would we enjoy that we've never had before? What's not on the market to satisfy this profile that we think might be good, right? So if we're blending Moroni's Trumpet and we want to take all the complexity and smoothness and sweetness of a Deseret but turn it up, how do we do that? What leaves do we need to make this louder and make it more robust and do better than what we've done so far? So it's really just playtime.
We're thinking like, what do I want to smoke right now?
Yeah.
What do I want to taste? What kind of experience do I want to have? And then we just, it's like when we blend, it's like we're going to the eye doctor, you know, and they do the one or two. And then you say two, and then, okay, one or two, until you get to your prescription, right?
Right.
That's kind of our process with the blend. We have, okay, we have a starting point, and then we change something. And we aim B it. Do we like that change better or worse? And okay, we like it better. Then what else do we change? What else do we want to change about that? Oh, well, let's try this leaf and A and B it, or sometimes A, B, C it. And then we pick the one that we like the best. And then we like, okay, well, what do we want to tweak about this one? And then we A, B it until we don't want to stop smoking it. And we can't think of a thing that we would want to do differently with it. And that's how we know we've landed on the blend is when we literally don't want to stop smoking it.
We don't want to stop smoking it, and we can't think of a way to improve it. Like there's nothing that we can add or subtract to make it better. So it really is just us smoking what we want to smoke, man. We're just in the room like, here's the cigar I want right now, so let's make that.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, I like that. I like that. Ooh, I don't like that. I like this.
It sounds like too simple a process to work. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to dumb it down, but it just, that's an amazing description. And it's like, wow. Okay.
There's really not much else to it. We've got a whole room full of tobacco at our disposal. And if we get stuck on like, okay, we're looking for this note, or we're looking for this sweetness or this saltiness, they can help us by picking the right leaf. Right. But ultimately we're the ones who are like, yeah, this blend works or doesn't work. We're just smoking until it tastes right. And we've done that 8 times now. So
well, and
it's
go ahead.
It helps. Sorry, go on.
No, go right ahead.
I was just going to say it really does help to have two blends that you're cross-referencing every other puff.
Right.
It helps tremendously because it's really apparent what's working for you better and what's not.
Well, when you're with Moroni's Trumpet, I think we had 4 different versions of Moroni's Trumpet in rotation while we were trying to pin it down. We had 4 different iterations on the table of completed blends that we were trying to narrow down to the right one. Ultimately, we ended up changing some more ingredients, so we got to a 5th iteration before we picked the one that we landed on.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Now, what amazes me is, as you guys sit and talk about this, I just sit and think back going, it is amazing how you two sit and you blend to your palates. And then you put that out on the market and it hits everybody's palate. Obviously, there's a little bit of biasness from us, but other than that, it's perfect. It hits everybody's palates perfect. I don't hear anybody complaining. And even if they do, they're wrong.
But I've never heard anyone complain about the flavor of our cigar.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's amazing that you two can do that.
Well, I think the retail part helps with that, right? Like being cigar smokers helps, but coming from the retail side, we spent, Kendrick's had the shop since 2009. I came along in 2016. All that time spent making recommendations for customers. Most of the time, if I can figure out what that customer likes, I'm going to recommend something that falls in that category that I would smoke, that I enjoy. Sometimes I would make a recommendation for something that's not my favorite or that I wouldn't smoke, but most of the time, manager to customer, I'm recommending something that I enjoy smoking. Right. So why would we change that in the blending room? If our palate has been developed in a way that we can make recommendations to a consumer, then I would imagine our palate's been developed in a way that we can blend something that the consumer would like too. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, we could sit up here and tell you a romantic story about how we were inspired to make these blends, you know, generations of tradition and blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, we just sit down and we smoke tobacco until it tastes right.
And, I mean, we have to decide on the blends really quick, you know. We can only spend so much time in the Dominican Republic, so when we're there, we have to make decisions quick. Mm-hmm. And sometimes being forced to make those quick decisions and kind of using our intuition a little bit, it has led us right. Instead of like blending, you know, 10 or 12 different test blends that we like, and then letting them sit for 3 months and revisiting them and then, you know, giving them out to the committee and having everybody vote on which one they like the best. That's another way that people do it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but for us, we kind of just follow intuition. We kind of make decisions really, really rapidly on the blending table. And we know when we taste it, that's we're on the right.
Yeah. It's not going to take me 3 months to decide if I like a blend or not.
And the saving grace that we have, we got to give all the credit that we can to Hochi and the people down at Tabacalera Palma, because only reason why we're able to do what we do with our blending is because the tobacco at the time that we blend it has already been aged and is ready to go. It's been sitting in bales, resting at 4 to 6 years of age, most of it. And so it doesn't need, you know, it's ready to go right away. So we know what the blend is going to be like the day that we blend it. And we know based on what, how tobacco and the tobaccos marry after it's been blended, kind of the trajectory that that cigar is set on. We kind of point in direction and just kind of let it go, and it does its thing, and it's worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say.
Right. I mean, I don't mean to fawn like a prepubescent girl, but it's just like, damn, your instincts are right on. I mean, and you've just done it time after time after time. I mean, even some of the best cigar houses, you'll have a miss there, maybe. It's kind of like, yeah, I love these three, but that one, not quite in my wheelhouse.
Well, it's a numbers game too, right? The more blends you have, the more likely you are to not like one, right? So
well, that could be true too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we only have six on the market. If we had, you know, 30 different blends on the table, I promise you'd pick one or two that weren't for you. You know,
maybe. But,
I don't know. But, you're six for six now.
Hey, we'll challenge accepted.
We're not going to release something that I don't want to, that we don't want to chain smoke, right?
Yeah, if we're blending something, it's got to be something that we want to personally sit and enjoy over and over. If a cigar doesn't do that, it's why would we make it for you? You
know? Right. If we're not craving it after we finish it,
well, right, so you know, I know there's one more, but you know what I'm waiting for.
What?
The Lanceru.
The story of the Laban was originally going to be a Lancero. I knew
that part, but. I sit here, you know, smoking the Churchill, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't think a Lancero would have done it correctly, because it would have been too. Right. And I've not smoked a Lancero for our viewing and listening audience, so I can't tell you that. I didn't get any of the test blends, but the intensity might have been probably too high when you go into that Lancero, and then you get real muddy. Or real sharp flavors would be my guess.
We do want to try it. You know, maybe it's like a just as an experiment, have them do like a week's production of some Lanceros and see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Make it a leap year release or something.
That's a long, that's four more years. I don't want to wait that long. But yeah. No, I get it. And that's the trouble with that particular size is you guys know as retailers is that it's a specific palate, typically not an American palate, and you got to find that right person that wants to smoke it in a Lancero.
Would that be you, Greg?
Yes, it would. Yes.
Yeah, you have your Lancero fanboys, but that's if we're making a business decision and a market decision, the fanboys aren't enough to float a core line Lancero.
No, so absolutely.
You know, an event only, something like that, smaller quantity, but it can't be core line. We can rely on it.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's not enough Fruit Loops like him to carry something like that.
Well, not in the States. No, in Europe there is.
In Europe all day, right?
Yeah.
So
there will be a Lancero in the future, I think.
Question for you guys. If you had to just throw out a ballpark number, or maybe you know an exact number, how many retail locations you think you're in across the country now?
Active locations ordering product and selling right now, 63 shops.
Damn.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And I think when we saw you at PCA, that was what?
2022?
No, I don't think we were at, I don't think you were at 20 yet.
Yeah, we were right around 20, 25 okay. at that first day. Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
We're trying to spread the gospel, you know?
It's the goal by the end of the year is to be in 100 shops. Well, it looks like it's probably going that way. So
great.
Right on. Good.
Well, speaking of the gospel, how did the show go for you guys?
It was good. It was a great show. Yeah. It's funny to see the transition from the first year when you guys were there, where we spent a lot of time in the booth telling people who we are, introducing ourselves, introducing the brand, to now people walk up to the table and they've heard of Apostate. So they just want to try. So that's cool. It was a quick 3-year turnaround to get good exposure, get market exposure. People know who we are. It's kind of cool, man. Yeah.
And thanks to guys like you know,
absolutely.
We couldn't do it without you guys and people like you that to get in our, get on our team, man. We love that there are people that love what we're doing.
That's amazing, man. I've personally, I've put probably a dozen people into one of your sticks, and you know, even I've even given out something to somebody that size wise or flavor wise may not be in their wheelhouse yet, you know, and I'm like, look, man, you got to try this. And if you don't like this, don't ever get anything else like it from any other brand anywhere ever, because this is going to draw you in. The prime example is a Feathered Serpent, you know, and right. We joked a while back about Feathered Serpent Fridays, and which we still got to, you know, get a regular going on that. But, I've only had one guy tell me, I don't know about this. He wouldn't have liked that from anybody, but at least he tried it and he smoked the whole thing. He's like, I just don't know if I like a green cigar. I'm like, okay, Candela's not your thing. That's fine. But that's fine. If you didn't like this, don't ever buy another Candela.
Exactly.
That's, you know, I mean, no, seriously. I mean, that's what it came to, right? Because that's what, you know, that's what cracked me up about when we saw you guys at our first PCA is, you know, we're standing there, you know, kind of these two are bullshitting you guys. And then all of a sudden somebody goes, hey, you want to try this? I'm like, yes, I do. And then we, you know, we're like a half hour later. I'm like, hey, did you guys get one of these from Apostate? They're both like, no, where the fuck did you get that? And I'm like,
that was somebody's wife or girlfriend that did that to him.
Hendrick's wife. Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing. I'm like, I'll take that.
Didn't she go, aren't you the one that likes the Candela out of the group?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She had me figured out and I'm like, yeah, man, I'm not scared. I'll try it. And it was like that reach under the table, you know, she kind of looks around both directions, you know, pass this out to your friends. You know, I'm like, no, I'm smoking this myself.
We had to be super stingy on the Feathered Serpent that year. We only had a few samples.
You definitely hit that one. Cause that was that was one of the most entertaining shows, was to watch Larry fawn over that cigar. It was hilarious. Man,
that thing was amazing. I think, matter of fact, I got to make a run back through TR because I think I'm down to one in the humidor, you know, and that's a great first thing in the morning with some coffee. God, I love those things.
Yeah. And it's so hard to find a Candela that doesn't taste like lawn clippings.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely true.
It's just a great smoke. The Apostate Candela. Oh man.
If you're one
crazy,
of the, if you're like, pardon me, if you're out. Like me, Candelas, I've never been my favorite. However, and not because you guys are on the show, they can look it back at the catalog. I've said this a couple times. Yours is the only one that I actually will seek out and buy because I enjoy it. Yeah. Great. Someone wants to give me one. Sure. But if I'm feeling like one, it's yours because it's good. And if I remember right, that is a Corojo Candela?
Dominican grown, yeah.
Yeah.
Most Candela is Ecuador from either Connecticut Seed or Habano, 2K. But yeah, ours is grown in Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, from Corojo Seed.
Yeah, it's great. So. And you're right. It doesn't have that, you know, fresh lawn clippings and green tea flavor.
Oh, the worst is that green tea flavor. I'm not going to name names.
No,
it's got a lot of oil in the leaf still. You know, it's not just a thin, papery thing that goes over the cigar to give it a green color. It's the wrapper on that thing actually got some substance to it. And if you feel the unfinished shaggy foot, you can feel how thick and broad that leaf is. Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a different animal than anything else out there in the market right now, for sure.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So there's one more floating around, right?
Yes, sir.
I was hoping you'd bring it up. This is the number 8. This is the capstone to our core line, the endowment. It's a 6x54 Toro.
52.
6x52, excuse me. Yeah.
Same as the engage.
I'm all in on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can't wait.
That one's good, man. It's got Connecticut Desflorado on the wrapper. Then you have a Connecticut broadleaf binder. And then you have PA broadleaf, San Andreas, and Dominican in the filler.
Oh, wow.
On paper,
it sounds wild, right?
Yeah, on paper, it sounds like, right? It sounds like it'd be really heavy. It's not at all. I'm smoking it right now. It's very medium at most, but super complex, really creamy, good sweet notes. After about the first inch, it really settles into a nice sweetness. This thing on the retro hill is insane. It's a very complex retro hill.
You're getting a lot of smoke on that draw out of a 52 ring gauge, too.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. A lot.
Now, guys, I know you told us earlier before we went to record. When can our listeners and viewers expect to see that show up in their shop of choice?
The display boxes are just being finished right now. The cigars are done. They're resting in the aging room down at the factory right now. They will be ready to be packaged and shipped to retailers no later than July, it's looking like.
Sounds great.
Oh, yes.
And I should also point out, for those of you that don't have Apostate in your shop of choice, you know, Brandon and Kendrick are not that hard to get a hold of. They're fairly active on social media. So get your shop owner to get a hold of them because you want it.
We have, it's really easy for the shop owners. If you go to our website, click on retailer, just fill out the form and I'll reach out. Yep. Super easy.
Now, Brandon, how's the camper van coming?
It's great, man. You saw it.
Yeah, I did. But you said you had some more work to do. Did you ever get that done?
No, we had a couple adjustments to make. There was nothing major. It's good. It's basically a finished product. Loving the hell out of it, man. Yeah.
I know a sign guy if you need a big logo on the side of it.
There you go. Yeah, the sign guy let me park my van in his parking lot when I was there in July. So thank you, Larry.
He did.
You're welcome, man.
That was him?
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't have deflated the tires.
Yeah. Gorilla was like, hey, do you need to come use the bathroom? I'm like, I'm all set, bro. I got it.
I told the guys that if you guys don't wrap that thing to look like a big covered wagon, you're not doing it right.
I like that.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Or one of the old timey apothecary wagons.
Yeah.
There you go. That's even better. Yeah. It looks like it's got pots and pans and shit hanging off the sides of it.
It's got the snake oil sign on the side.
Yep.
Get you a little bumper sticker for the back that says Deseret or Bust.
I love it.
No, what you need is a cigar on top on a little spring so as you drive it kind of just swings around.
It's already borderline like top clearance, so that might be pushing it.
Too bad.
Yeah, I mean, if you got to tear something off, better that than the air conditioner, though, right?
True.
Yeah, we got the solar up there, too. You got to be careful.
Oh, yeah.
Fully self-sustainable.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
I believe that.
Now, Kendrick, do you get to go out in that thing at all, man, or is that 100% Brandon?
So far on Apostate business, it's been all Brandon on the van. We haven't tried doing a road trip together in it, but I think we're doing one in Colorado this year.
Yeah.
In May. We're going to try it out. Should be enough room. I, of course, have used it for fun and stuff, but it's Brandon. Brandon's been the road warrior with it for the most part.
Yeah. And that's a miserable drive from Utah out here because you just – absolutely nothing once you leave Salt Lake City until you hit Reno.
Yeah, that's
where.
I've taken you halfway.
Oh, I went through.
Oh, that's Salt right. Lake. You did when you went to pick up your father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As the wind was slamming me from like lane four over to lane one.
Yeah. Yeah. The wind from Reno to Salt Lake is tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the reason why I have a 37 footer now.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott had to graduate up to something that was a little heavier in the, you know, in the ass end, so to speak. So, what else you guys doing this year, as far as events, you know, where are you going? Where should people look for you?
We will be, so the next trip is Colorado. As Kendrick was saying, we've got an event over at 3D Cigar in Colorado Springs. Obviously we'll be hitting up retailers along the way, trying to open more accounts. But we've got, after that, we'll actually be in your neck of the woods in June. So we're doing an event, at Telford's in Mill Valley on the 13th of June.
Okay.
But the week leading up to that will be in your area. So look for us at TR in June.
Hey, if you want to plan it, if you want to plan a live where you can actually sit here and drink with us, you know, we can make that happen.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Happy to do it. Whatever you guys want. Yeah, we'll have to talk to Ron and see if he's ready to start doing events again.
You run 104. He's not doing events.
He might.
He might be.
He might for these guys.
Yeah, he might. That's true.
We'll twist his arm a bit.
For some reason, he likes us a little bit. So we'll see.
Just a touch.
Yeah. Or we don't need to do a normal event. You could tell him that we can do like a pairing event for, you know, just like a core group of guys or something, you know, where we bring a bottle that goes well with one of our cigars and we really go into a deep dive about the blend and the pairing, you know, something like that.
Hey, we'll sit down with him this week and run up the flagpole, see what he says.
Do it. Absolutely.
It's a, you know, a fun, different kind of a thing rather than just a standard come buy cigars event.
Yeah,
you know? No, I get it. No, that'd be good. That sounds awesome, man. I'd love to do something like that with you guys.
Oh, yeah. I got a thought. I was just thinking, you know what could go well with these?
Barbecue?
Goddamn right. Pork belly burn-ins. Anyone has an aversion of pork belly burn-ins?
No more.
It's dinner time, isn't
it? Dude, I'm 280 pounds. How much of an aversion do you think I have to any food?
Because I could go hog fucking wild with the Traeger and just make a whole bunch of them.
Hog wild. I see what you did there.
Hold on. Gorilla, don't you have a Traeger comment floating around?
Gonna go cook them on your adult Easy Bake oven.
Get some pumpkin pie for dessert.
There you go.
No, dude.
Do not tell me. I will bring pumpkin pie.
No.
Because you said
that. No, you need to bring your sweet potato pie.
I could do that too. Mm-hmm. Oh god. You'll still go back to the pumpkin pie.
Being good at barbecuing on a Traeger is like being good at sharpening a pencil with an electric sharpener.
Wow.
Woo! As long as the burn is good, it's fine. I don't care.
That wasn't very nice.
He's not a nice person. You met him.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've met his parents. What do you expect?
Well, yeah, I'm going to smoke on my Easy Bake Oven. Fuck you.
Larry, please print an Easy Bake Oven sticker.
Oh, don't
we can
you
put
worry,
on his Traeger.
We got the heat-resistant vinyl. We can do that.
I will murder you.
Well, it's been a fun run, but Larry and I and Gorilla are going to get murdered. So look for Beyond the Humidor to come out from ADX Colorado or Pelican Bay or something like that.
God damn, you're putting me in fucking Pelican Bay?
San Quentin?
Well, yeah, you're 6'5" and black. That's like you're going to Pelican Bay straight out, brother. I mean, I love you, but let's be realistic here.
Okay,
yeah, you can be you homicide. Can... Yeah, and by the way, I would not go to Florence ATX or it's ADX. Ah. That's federal.
Okay.
Now, if I murdered a postal worker, not that I would.
If Greg runs to Idaho, the crime has been committed across state lines.
There it's federal. There we go. And that's where I'd run too, where all the guns and freedom are at.
So I have a question. I know way back we talked about the Initiatory, the Feathered Serpent, the Liahona, and
the Deseret.
We just talked about the Sword of Laban, Trumpet, and Endowment. Did we miss one in there somehow?
The Zarahemla is the one we smoked about 5 months ago.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't remember if we had talked about it or not.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the box pressed one?
Yes.
Yes.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Robusto box press, lovely stick.
I gotta get another.
I like that, too. And I don't even like box press.
That one's smoking so good right now.
Yeah, that's that one's really, really coming into its own right now. If you haven't smoked one for 5 months, I recommend trying another one.
All right.
No, I intend to get one of each here eventually and go through all of them again, because for the audience who maybe is joining us for the first time with Apostate, I fawn about this every time we talk about them. The blending process is awesome and the flavors you guys come up with are crazy good, but I also love the thought put into like the meaning behind it.
The marketing is off the hook, man.
I mostly want to get all of them just to have all of them at once and see like the Zarahemla, the logo for it is the temple. So the box press, like I just find all that stuff really fucking cool.
Collect them all.
Yeah, I'm not even joking. Like, yeah,
it's like Hot Wheels and shit,
right? But I tell like my buddy Ethan, I've given him a couple of your guys' sticks and a couple other friends. I tell them like the fact that much thought was put into it, not just from a flavor perspective, but the whole presentation is just it adds another little layer to it. It's so cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, everything about the cigars is deliberate and tied in some way with the name. Like the Deseret means honeybee, so it's striped like a bee and has a stinger. The Liahona is a word that means compass, so the cigar is thin and pointy like the needle of a compass. The feathered serpent is green like a serpent. The Sword of Laban is long and broad like a sword. The Zarahemla, which is, you know, city, is box pressed to be like the stepping stones of a temple. The Moroni's trumpet is the shape of a trumpet, right? And so on. And then, of course, each of the cigars is represented by one of the symbols in the logo.
Yep. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Larry was saying, the marketing is spot on. But not only that, the cigars are fantastic. That's what makes it great. Because you'll have some cigar houses where, you know, you get put a lot into marketing, but the cigar is, yeah, there you go. That's a good word.
Or vice versa. The cigars are awesome, but you didn't do anything to catch someone's eye or get the word out. It's the perfect of both worlds.
It's the equivalent of someone saying, here, smoke this fucker.
Yeah.
Right.
Not that I'm complaining. Someone smoke this. Okay.
No, the tobacco is obviously where we want to be super intentional, and that's where our focus goes when we're blending, right? So the tobacco is king. We want to bring a good product to market. But it does you no good to bring a good product to market if it goes overlooked on the shelf. And so marketing is second priority, right? So with both of those doing the best that they can both do, it all just kind of makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 100%, man.
All right.
It's got to be pretty enough to sell on its looks, and it's got to taste good enough
to get him to come back.
Right.
Yep.
But yet you send Brandon out to promote it.
I know.
Gotcha, bitch.
No, despite me, it's doing well.
He's a good preacher.
Now, what parts of the country is Apostate presently? Are you guys primarily on the West Coast? Have you made it all the way to the East Coast yet, down in Florida and such, Texas? Where, you know, or are you just spread out all over?
It's pretty checkered right now. It's pretty spread out. Our biggest gap is in the Midwest.
Okay.
But East Coast, we're building quickly. We actually just hired a rep on the East Coast, so it's one of those. Like everybody out there is talking about Apostate and ready to smoke it. We've been spending some time in Texas. That's going well. Our biggest gaps are, you know, those Midwestern flyover states, the Indiana, Iowa, Ohio, Illinois, Kentucky, all those. We got to get going out there. So in the West, I would say we're most heavily saturated just because home base is out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But East Coast is seeming to be a pretty enthusiastic sell right now. So, and Texas is coming on board too.
I like hearing that.
Are you dialed in with our buddy and at Just the Tip Cigars?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Right on.
So
yeah, I did an event with Sam out there in February.
Right on.
End of January. Did an event with Sam, visited a couple other retailers out there. Pennsylvania is awesome. Yeah,
that's a great state.
Mm-hmm.
Especially midsummer when it's still, green.
Right. I mean, it's kind of always green. It just depends on whether or not it's raining, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Seattle of the East.
Yeah. And then in the wintertime, you get that wretched white stuff.
Boo.
Yeah, we get some of that here too.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got a place out there I want to go visit if I ever get the chance.
And what place would that be, Greg?
That would be a particular ranch in northern Utah. That you all know. You all know what it is.
You're talking about Skinwalker Ranch?
I am, in fact, yes. I'd love to be able to get a hold of the fellow that owns that and go out there just to see if my skepticism is correct or not.
Don't go.
Don't go. All right.
Why?
Why not?
Just why?
When the local natives are scared of the place, you don't
I know.
Want to go.
Oh, trust me. I am the whitest Native American you're ever going to meet. I get it.
Yeah, there's a lot of natives on a reservation right there next to Skinwalker, and
yeah.
they don't like that place at all. So
you're the type of white person why horror movies are really like popular. Ooh, let's go to this scary place and go fuck around and find out.
Yeah, regardless of all those chainsaws hanging up there, I'm going to go anyway.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Do not tempt the evil eye.
Yes, why not? It's an interesting place. Anyway.
You should come out and check it out. I disagree with Brandon. You should absolutely go there.
Don't go there.
Nah, brother, I'm good. I'm good.
Don't go.
And
I'm going to go to the ghetto where it's safe.
The gorilla will go with me.
Fuck no.
I'll find someone crazy enough to go with
bringing
me.
Bringing holy water across and silver bullets, and I'm staying in the
that'll
fucking truck.
That'll probably make it worse.
Fuck off. I'm bringing a 105mm howitzer.
I'm going to be like that that guy from The Mummy with the different religious speaking Arabic and Hindi and all this shit, trying to figure out which God is going to help me.
Yeah, one of them got to work.
There ain't going to be anyone that's going to help you. I got news for you on that one.
Yeah, God doesn't live there.
Got to side with Brandon on that one.
So, maybe don't bring a gun and instead bring like a tobacco offering.
Yeah. As Homer Simpson once said, help me, Jeebus.
Yeah.
It'll be about as effective.
So I don't know if you guys caught our show where we talked with how about that cigar? We talked about the 50th anniversary of The Godfather.
Okay.
So over the weekend, since I couldn't talk, laryngitis was a little bit bad, I watched the movie. The first one.
You finally freaking watched the movie.
I finally Gorilla watched the first engaged. Movie.
Yes. As am I.
Okay, so thoughts?
Yeah. Do tell.
So, I understand.
He's going to ruin the fucking Godfather.
No. The cinematography was fantastic. The music, great.
I feel a butt.
The plot moved a bit slowly for me.
Okay.
That's fair. Yeah. I do understand now why it was such a great film. It was a good film. It was just a little bit too slow, in my opinion. But it was a really good flick.
Part of that, I would imagine, is because you read it first and you have all the broad subtext and you're wondering, like, oh, why it moves slow.
Where's this? Why didn't this happen? Where's it? This should have happened. Where's this character?
I was thinking all that during the thing,
but I have not watched The Godfather Part 2 or 3 yet. I just watched the original.
Okay, I would say this. I wish. Oh, go ahead.
Part 3, like Part 3 can go away. I don't care about Part 3. But Part 2, arguably better than the original.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, let me ask the question. Have you ever seen the series where it's The Godfather Saga from 1899 to 1954? They basically spliced The Godfather and Godfather Part 2 in chronological order.
AMC does it once a year for the anniversary of the release, I believe. It's like a 4.5-hour. It starts with all the flashbacks to Vito.
Yeah.
Godfather 1.
But they're not flashbacks. That's what makes it so great. So you, right at the beginning, you're at the funeral of Vito's father and then the murder of his brother, Paolo.
Okay.
And then it goes from there. And then the mother begging for Vito's life to the Don.
Okay. So it's a super cut of both movies. I like that.
Yes, it's amazing. I mean, I watched that back in, it was like 92, 93. I mean, I just had a whole day I was off. I sat back, plopped in the video cassette. I think it was like one of four.
And you know, and so having read the book or listened to it, there were a couple of scenes that were damn near what I was imagining when it happened.
It is, I would argue, despite having to cut so much out, it is one of the best book-to-movie adaptations that keeps the core characters, the core plot, the core big set pieces really well.
Yeah, well, I agree. You go to the scene, you know, when Al Pacino, Michael, is in Italy.
Yeah.
I know where this is going.
Right.
I know what's going to happen, and it's hard. It was very hard not to get emotional because I know what's going to happen to that car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can I fast forward through this? Because I don't want to watch this part. And then at the end, too, I mean, the book, I don't think, described the Don with his grandson when he had his heart attack and died, but it was just like, ooh. Someone was paying attention and someone figured out how to really wrench that.
Oh, yeah.
Again, now to add to your list, now that you've experienced both, go watch The Offer is good, but
yes.
there's an actual, that's like the dramatization. There's also a really good documentary. The fact that The Godfather got made at all is a miracle.
Yeah, it is.
Like, genuinely.
Oh, yeah, because I saw The Offer, and I did not know half of that, what happened with the Italian Defamation League and how the mob felt about it.
The studio did not at all want Marlon Brando in that movie.
That
until
too.
They saw a picture of him where he took black, a picture that they did a little, like, test reel in his house where he took black shoe polish and put the bread in his cheeks and started.
Yeah, for the jowls, yeah.
And they're like, okay, never mind. We're good with him.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts of The Offer was when they were all at the dinner table. All the actors were at the dinner table, and they were playing their roles as they ate dinner. The interaction between Sonny, James Caan, and forgive me, I don't know the actor who played Carlo Rizzi, but their interaction and Talia Shire's interaction with Carlo and Al Pacino, amazing.
And what was amazing for me, right, is I'm sitting here looking at Michael Corleone going, he looks very familiar. Who the hell is that? So I go onto IMDb and I'm like, holy shit, Pacino used to be young?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm used to this wrinkled old man that we have now. I'm like, wow.
See, yeah, you didn't grow up with Pacino.
No, I didn't.
And yeah.
I don't think he gets enough credit for his addition to the film, Robert Duvall. As Tom Hagen is also fabulous.
That was Robert Duvall.
That's Robert Duvall.
Wow.
That's Duvall.
Robert Duvall was young too.
Yeah.
I'm gonna nerd for a little bit. That's Robert Duvall 6 months after playing Major Frank Burns in MASH the Motion Picture.
Wow.
That's right.
That was right as he was starting to get popular.
Yep. Now, I'll just touch upon this for you, Greg, because I do kind of agree with you. You know, after reading the book and then seeing the movie, there's a couple of characters who weren't truly fleshed out. One of them being Luca Brasi.
Yes, he was. Yeah. They made him look like a fucking idiot. And the book doesn't make him look like an idiot.
The book makes
him look like a villain.
He is vicious.
Yeah.
He is evil.
The other one was Abe Pagoda's character.
You're talking about Tessio.
Tessio. He was so bland in the movie.
But if you went into either of those characters' backstories, particularly Luca's, one, that film would never see public eyes.
Oh, no.
Two, that'd be a 6.5-hour film.
That's true, because the backstory of Luca Brasi was pretty dark. Vile.
And then the other one. You ever think about Al Neri?
Al Neri is cool, too, yeah.
Neri does not come up in the...
The only scene you get with Neri is he's the one that shoots Barzini at the courthouse. But there's that whole backstory of he was a cop, the Don took him in, and then he became Michael's Luca.
Right.
Well, yeah, but, yeah. Michael and the Don talked about. He says you need a Luca Brasi, and Neri was Michael's Luca Brasi.
And see, the reason I think that's a surprise because they never named him in the movie. He didn't have a name. He just appeared. And I'm like, okay, who's this? Oh. But
then if you're paying attention, he's in the room.
Getting his police uniform on.
No, but he's in the room at the end. He's the one that closes the door on K.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
And the look that he gives, two of the most poignant scenes with Al Neri was the final scene in The Godfather. And then in Godfather Part 2, where Michael forgives Fredo. And he's embracing Fredo. And Michael looks up at Al Neri. And you could see the guilt in Neri's face. Michael gave him the look and the nod, and Neri just kind of, his eyes just kind of darted down like, yes, boss. And he's thinking, oh my God, how could you?
Yeah, go watch Godfather 2 as soon as you can.
I will. It's on the list.
So, hi, guys. You still there?
Yeah. let's under.
Somebody kick Brandon, wake him up.
I'm here. I'm loving it.
I'm gonna kick it back to these guys real quick because I have a question. Yes. How's the beehive? How's the beehive going?
Beehive's going awesome.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Just a great shop that has a great core group of very supportive customers and it's home base, man. It's where it all started.
That's awesome, man.
We gotta make our way out there, you know.
Well, if you guys listen to our podcast at all, you'll have heard the gorilla talk about the planning of a road trip for next year. He's making a pilgrimage to Kansas.
Pilgrimage is a strong word.
It's a pilgrimage.
Forced march is more like it.
He's going out to Concordia, Kansas to hang out with a buddy of his, and he has plans to do a gorilla drive-by, as it were, beehive.
Whoa, hey, hang on. You can't say that on the podcast because now it's premeditated. you can't make plans.
Gorillas don't drive by, they swing.
Jesus.
He's going to swing through.
No,
put a stop in Salt Lake City on your way to Kansas, man. Yeah.
I think he's planning that.
Yeah, that's the plan. Next year, I'm going to go out 80 to Concordia, then back through Colorado and probably hook back in at Salt Lake and come back over. So, yeah, big long 10-day road trip. I want to stop in at some cigar places. So,
yeah, hit me up when you're passing through Salt Lake and got a chair for you.
And hit me up so I can make sure I'm not here.
Okay.
I'm thinking about taking the Hickory Bronze October out to Salt Lake.
Christ.
Why? You can't smoke in the thing.
At 8 miles to the gallon?
I know. But still, it would be a fun trip.
You might as well raise the sails off that thing and see if you can coast.
Through Reno, you could.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, and if you put sails up around Reno, people would think you were going to Burning Man anyway.
A black man with a 38-foot RV. They might think he's going to Burning Man anyway.
Wow. That was a racial joke. I get it.
38-foot RV? That's a monster.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a house on wheels.
Dude, man. It's nicer than my house.
Yeah, that's epic right there.
Okay. I got to tell you, so the reason it's now a 38-footer is because the little Class C he had, he had to do yoga positions just to use the throne.
they can be tiny. Those.
Oh, yeah.
The Posse Mobile is a Class B, technically, so it's even smaller.
Oh, yeah. It was a tight squeeze. I think what did it for Tiny Wife was when she was cleaning the bathroom and she slipped because it was squeezed in and thought she broke a rib. Then she's just like, I've had enough. We're getting a Class A. Fuck this.
It's a very nice Class A. I'll say that.
Yeah.
And its generator can power my little hovel if necessary.
Oh, yeah. Four TVs, a generator.
Four TVs in that thing?
Oh, yeah. There's one in the very front, one right next to the fireplace, one in a bedroom. And then if you go outside, there's a cabinet. You pop that open and, whoop, you got another TV.
Hey, you got the fireplace, right?
Points in the RV. That's fucking, that's next level.
Oh yeah. And leather couches to sit back and relax and watch. Oh, and I even have like my easy chair. I have an L-shaped leather couch.
And a Barker lounger.
Yes. That's what it's called. Thank you.
Wasn't it Barco?
Yeah, Barco lounger. Yeah.
Barker lounger.
Same damn.
Just because you put two dogs in the fucking thing doesn't make it a Barker lounger.
Yes, it does.
Hondo hasn't been allowed in it yet. We need to work on his potty.
Well, yeah, it shits everywhere it walks. I wouldn't allow it either. Hey, Brandon, Scott's got two of them yipping fucking mutts now.
He only had one last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, yeah, they were having so much fun with that miserable piece of shit, they decided to get a second one.
Oh, here we go.
Tiny wife's going to murder you.
She don't like me already. What difference does it make?
She likes you fine. She probably likes you better than me.
Well, that's debatable. But yeah, Scott didn't have enough yipping out of one dog. They got to get another. And you know, no, don't try your luck. Don't roll your dice with another dog. No, get exactly the same fucking dog you have now and think it's going to be a better version of that dog. Wrong, Virginia. Jesus Christ.
You haven't met Hondo yet, have you?
I don't think I have met Hondo.
No, you haven't.
What's the third one's name going to be? Hitler?
Gorilla.
No, Magilla.
Magilla.
Robinson.
Yes, sir.
You're the only one who has not smoked this cigar yet. You're about two-thirds of the way through. Thoughts?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Where is this in flavor country?
Oh, I'm in City Hall of Flavor Country. I'm like becoming mayor and making new laws in Flavor Country right now. I'm like that super mayor over in Chicago.
You're a troll?
Now, the thing I like about this when you get down towards the end, guys, I've had a lot of the thinner cigars like this where you get down where you got inch and a half, a little less left, it starts getting really hot. Mm-hmm. That's not the case with these, man. It stays smooth, it stays consistent from front to back on these, and it's just an amazing smoke. Just really good.
We put all of our effort into the blends, and then the factory puts all their effort into the construction.
They do a phenomenal job.
It's a really well-constructed product all around.
Yeah. Truly is.
And I'm amazed at how much smoke I'm getting out of this ring gauge.
Yeah.
Every single time. I mean, it doesn't vary. You know, I've never had one that was tight, that was a rough draw. Right. And, yeah, just a phenomenal cigar all the way around.
I also like the fact that it's a true Churchill.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a 50 pretending to be a 47.
No.
Ah, yeah. So most people don't even know that the true Cuban Churchill is 47 ring gauge. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good observation, Greg. That was good.
It's my second favorite size.
You can't tell what color the wrapper or the label is, but he can tell it's a true 47.
No, you're right. I cannot, to be truthful on you, but that's because most listeners know I'm colorblind.
It's purple, Greg.
I don't know what that looks like, my friend.
It's purple.
Can't help you.
Next time you see it, just know, oh, that's purple.
Wine grape, Greg.
Ah. Mm.
Which is also purple, which he can't see.
Correct. Like Scott's robe, his barbecue robe that I can't see either.
That is not what I thought.
We forgot about that, didn't you? Your barbecue cape. King of the barbecue. Of the Easy Bake Oven.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to do an Easy Bake Oven logo with a cape. Captain Easy Bake.
Captain Easy Bake.
I will murder you all.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And make barbecue for the arresting officers.
There we go.
Uh-huh. Bribery might get you everywhere.
I don't know if it's going to work out how I think it's going to work out. I don't think it's going to be one of those instances of, well, are you going to arrest him or am I? Well, I can't. My fingers are all dirty. I got barbecue sauce all over them.
No, it's probably going to be more like a shoot him now, wait till we get home. Shoot him now. Shoot him now.
Oof. It'll be like, well, you know, he can be handcuffed and we can still have barbecue. We can do that first.
Creepy. So, hey, man, what else you guys got coming up? Anything, you know, you want to spring on us? Anything you want to get the listening on it? No, I mean, I'm not trying to pull the rabbit out of the bag or anything, but, you know, anything you want to get the listening audience up to speed on, you know, tell us.
We've got to do our annual trip to the Dominican Republic. We usually go, you know, October, November. With the core line done, we've got to figure out something to work on. So,
yeah, we don't want to announce anything just yet. We have a lot of kind of ideas, kind awesome. Of in the works. And it's the creative aspect of things that kind of keeps us going.
It's one of those, we know we want to make something. We probably won't know what it is or what it's going to look like until we're sitting in Hochi's office talking about it. So, okay.
Yeah. Fair enough.
We do kind of just run on intuition a lot. We kind of,
some people would call it half-assing. We call it, you know, creative impulsivity.
I'm sorry. Whatever you're doing, it works. So don't change it.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, if that's it, half-ass the shit out of it.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's jazz. It's
jazz, baby.
It's yeah. It's improvisation, right? It's working with what's there. Sometimes, like, you know, the blends that we have, you know, we always go in with an idea of what we want, but sometimes things don't work out the way that we plan and we have to improvise. Like, for example, on the Zarahemla, the one that the box press one, we wanted to do a Cameroon wrapper on that with the Pennsylvania binder, but Hochi didn't have any Cameroon wrapper that he could give up because he uses it on his Imperial Jade line for La Galera. Mm-hmm. So we were like, okay, well, fuck, what are we going to do? And then we were like, okay, well, do you have any Cameroon binder? He's like, oh yeah, we got lots of Cameroon binder. And so we just kind of flip-flopped it and we used a Pennsylvania wrapper with a Cameroon binder instead. And we got the same flavor that we were looking for in our head, but it was just,
yeah, I was going to say, seemed to work well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little improvisational tweak that ended up being really magic. So,
And I guess that would be something I've always wondered too. How much input does Hochi have with you guys? How much of his, hey, maybe try this or something like that. How much does that go into it?
We always start there. We always kind of hash it out in the office with Hochi, let him know kind of what our plans are, what we want to do creatively. And he always has something to suggest. Very rarely do we go with the suggestion though these days. We keep it in mind. It's a good benchmark. He's Hochi Blanco, right? But we kind of just get in the room and do our thing. So far it's working.
The train is back.
Yes, it is. I'm loving this. I'm telling you, this is fantastic.
I can't believe you waited 6 months to smoke it.
I'm proud of you for waiting. Good job.
We'll see.
I mean, it's only had time to get even better.
So. Oh, yeah. I was doing this for the listeners. I wanted to do it first blush. I wanted them to share my first time experience with this cigar.
Hey, listeners, I like you too. But I think I smoked this. I think I smoked this the day it became available.
Yeah, it's hard to wait.
Literally, so Gorilla was literally going, Greg, have they got them in the shop yet? No. And it was like, hey, Anthony, Ron now carries in the shop. He's like, smoking it,
dibs. So Scott, tell me what you're tasting. What do you like about it? What's getting you excited?
I love the smoothness of the smoke. I love the amount of smoke it's putting out. As Larry was saying, as you get down to the nub on some cigars, it starts getting like warm. The tobacco starts heating up. So the flavor changes. And then it's like, you know, your fingertips are hot. But this, I mean, constant temperature. The smoke is even. The flavor, and I'm not one to sit there and tell you, oh, it's like, as we say, banana peel and
lamb, banana, and raccoon.
Yes, lamb, banana, and raccoon. It's like I look for a smoothness of a smoke, lots of flavor. I'm not gonna even use the terms. It's just, I love the taste. It's fantastic. It's what That's I would awesome. Expect. It's a good yeah. meditation cigar. Yeah. I can sit back, smoke this, and just meditate.
Super creamy. Just really, really smooth, man.
And it's got a great, I don't know if this comes up or not, and this is also remembering back, it has a very, I don't want to say cedar because it's not that sharp. It has a almost like barrel oak note to it.
You guys are good at that shit. You guys are really good at that flavor shit.
Yeah, it definitely has like a woody tone to it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
but ultimately, you know, it's tobacco, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's the thing when you're talking about flavor of tobacco. I mean, really, it's like trying to describe a flavor to a sound that you're hearing. It's tobacco, and yeah. it's all different manifestations of what tobacco can be, and we can draw comparisons with food or beverages that we've had or. Things that we've smelled, like the bottom of a shoe, for example, or whatever people want to describe their cigars as. But ultimately, it's just tobacco. It just manifests differently depending on where it's grown, the seed that it came from, how it's treated after it's been harvested, and all of it. I'm a musician myself, so I tend to think of cigars in terms of music as well. And so to me, it's just like a cigar is a song. And, you know, what different notes do you want to hear in the song? You know, is it a note that sounds good to your ear or does that sound, that chord sounds offensive. So I'm going to use a different chord.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Scott, with you, I agree. I think sometimes people get a little too serious, like, oh, I taste pomegranate. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Because there's pomegranate in that cigar, right? So let's not be that literal. You're trying to describe what it reminds you of. And as long as you keep that in mind, you know.
I agree. I look for a cigar to take me to a place. That's the thing for me. If the cigar can just take me to a peaceful place, that's what I look for. I'm not looking for it to taste like pumpkin.
Well, you know, you guys have both described something that they described to me. I was talking to another vendor who I bet you probably are friends with, Sebastian, and he was saying that, you know, the flavor is not, it's not what you actually taste. What does the aroma trigger in your memory?
Exactly. What does it remind you of? Yeah. Kendrick all the time will say it's not about the cigar, it's what the cigar does. And that's the whole point. The tobacco is just a vessel for where you're going
to
go.
Yeah, and that's subjective to every person picking up the cigar, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean,
As it should be.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, that's what this journey is all about, right? And this will definitely get you back to a good place if you're not there.
Absolutely, I agree.
That's why our tagline is your journey, your cigar. I mean, that's it right there.
There you go. A good friend of ours who was also on the our earlier podcast, Bob Bilesma, he is really good at telling the story of the cigar, and he uses a lot of taste of what it reminds him of. I think there was one cigar he was talking about reminded him of a spaghetti dinner. And I used to envy people who used to be able to sit there and say, oh, well, it's reminiscent of a very aromatic pasta sauce or something like that. And, you know, it took a while for me to just get out of that and just say, you know what? I don't taste that. It's just I smoked a cigar to take me to a place.
Yeah, don't get caught in the trap of trying to taste something that somebody tells you should be in there.
Right.
Just enjoy the cigar. That's it.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get a kick out of reading some of the reviews, man. And that's where the whole lamb, you know, banana and raccoon thing came from, because you're reading some of this stuff and it's like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Right.
You know, I mean, I get you somebody wrote you a check for this shit, but I mean, you know, take it easy there, Mary Poppins. You're getting a little out of control.
It's especially comical for us as blenders because, you know, we taste what we taste, right? And then we release the cigar out into the world, and then people pick them up and they're describing all of these flavor profiles. I'm like, whoa.
I didn't tell
you that. Wow.
That's creative.
One was involved. Yeah.
There is not a pomegranate or a raccoon anywhere near that cigar, goddammit.
You know what? It might.
Yeah, wow. Okay. But it's cool.
What one of my favorite descriptors actually came off this show, and it was Larry.
Oh shit.
And he's I can't remember what we were smoking, and he goes, "You know that smell of rotten earth?" And we all went, "Yes." And then I had somebody go, "What does rotten earth smell like?" And I'm like, "You need to go into the woods, you need to find a down tree, and you need to find a really soft one and pick up that dirt from underneath it and smell it. Then you'll understand." But it's just like, yee.
Or you go where you buried the last body.
Wow, that was dark.
Yeah, the cops aren't following us home or nothing. Yeah.
No, we're not on any FBI watch list.
Decomposing body.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what people describe as flavors of earth, that's a common one for cigars, and makes sense in a lot of ways. The cigar, the tobacco came from the earth, you know, it's, and when you, what's left over is the minerals that were in the soil that it was grown in, you know?
Yep. Yeah. I know that my first experience years ago when I did retail at TR was Ron was talking about Ometepe tobacco. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Now taste the cigar." So I sat and smoked the cigar for a half an hour and I'm like, "Ron, it tastes really chocolatey, and it's not that sweet milk. It's more of like a earthy baker's chocolate." And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "You know why?" And I'm like, "No." And he goes, "It's grown on one particular island in volcanic soil, and that's what you get." And I'm like, "Huh? How?"
Yeah.
How? But yeah, you're right. It's the minerals and the, you know.
Yeah, the mineral content of the soil plays a big part. That's why Cuban tobacco has such a unique taste, is the unique mineral content of the soil there.
Yep.
It's the rocks, man. The rocks and the minerals, man.
Scott's going to go home and wave a healing crystal over his. Okay. This reminds me, I was having a conversation the other night with my buddy Zach, who's about to graduate from Cal Maritime. He mentioned something that I feel like I need to bring up now. And he mentioned, "Oh yeah, you know, cigars on the ship, not a huge problem. You know, I'll keep them in a humidor, but we're at sea. It's fairly humid." And then I went, "Okay, but salt air.
Oh,
what does that do to a cigar?"
Good.
And I, and he and I thought about it. He's like, "I have no idea." I'm like, "I don't know either."
What we need to do, this just gave me a great idea for an experiment. You should give him four or five cigars of the same cigar. He takes it out to sea with him and then brings them back to us so we can smoke them and see the difference of when they've been out at sea for a few months.
Well, what you could do.
Yeah, that's.
You just go down to the ocean and grab a jug of seawater, put it in the bottom of a Tupperware, and then put some sort of rack in there so that the cigars aren't going to be touching the water directly.
Oh, there you go.
And then put the cigars in there in the Tupperware and let it just sit in the Tupperware for a few months.
I don't think you're going to like that cigar.
No.
Imagine it being good, but I mean, maybe, who knows? I mean, like the Scotch though, you know, some of the distilleries that are closer to the ocean in Scotland, you can definitely taste a more kind of briny note, like, on like the Isla Scotches, or even like Oban, which is near the ocean, or Talisker.
Right. Oh.
You get that briny note, and the barrels are overlooking the ocean. You know?
It's interesting you bring that up. I know you're drinking something pop related, I think, Brandon, but what was in the little tiny? Ah.
Okay.
Well, this is a limited cask thing from Tomaten. Sherry cask, They used like 6 different whiskeys that were matured in sherry casks for this one.
Lovely.
It's really
very, very
and
nice.
What did you two decide to drink?
Well, I'm drinking Heaven's Door.
Yeah, both of us have
The Ascension.
The Ascension, which is a new release straight from Heaven's Door. It's a Kentucky straight bourbon from those guys. Not bad. Not the best straight bourbon I've ever had, but it's a keeper.
I mean, I like it.
I wouldn't pour it out. So
I've already had 2 glasses of this, so
he's going to be sleeping on the table here.
Oh, God, it takes more than that. I can outdrink Irish dock workers.
It's impressive.
Oh, not, Barry.
Not at elevation, you can't.
No, that's true.
Yeah, come to Salt Lake and try that.
Yeah.
He already did at 5,200 feet at my deer hunting camp.
Yeah.
It did not go well. That was the one and only time we ever scrapped a show.
Olympic-level athletes come to Utah to train for the Olympics, and it's when I'm at sea level drinking, I can tell why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can drink like a fish.
When I'm at sea level drinking, my liver it's a cakewalk. No problem.
Yeah.
Things get interesting when your blood alcohol content and your blood oxygen level pass each other.
Like 2 ships passing in the night.
Ooh. And poor Reno looked like the dog, the cat from Austin Powers being petted.
Yeah, it was a rough weekend.
That was fun too.
Yeah, you know what? We keep talking about that show.
I don't know if we have it anymore.
No one has ever seen it.
I don't know if we have it anymore, to be honest with you. Yeah. I'd have to go through the archive.
Where's your deer camp?
So we're at. Everyone calls it beer camp because I have yet to take a deer out of it, but that's neither here nor there. You go up.
Yes, it is.
That's not what hunting's for, right?
Say it again.
That's not what you don't hunt to shoot a deer. You hunt to hang out with your friends and drink beer and smoke
cigars.
Right?
Correct.
Greg does.
But no, it's up the 80 corridor. Brandon passed the exit when he came in and then left again. It's up off this Highway 20 off ramp. It's about 7.5 miles in the backcountry. No cell phone, no nothing.
Yeah, just past Nyack.
Yeah, at 5,200 feet, and it's just a lovely spot.
Okay.
Right, and on. Unfortunately, okay. Now it's not. It's now become a UC Berkeley study area, so I have to find a new spot. And we've hunted there for 20 years.
Where is that in the Donner Pass?
So Donner is about as the crow flies, 12 miles east, northeast of or east southeast of us. By car, it's about 45 minutes.
Got it.
But you could hike there. It would just take a bit. But it's only about 12, 15 miles hike.
That's a gorgeous area.
Yeah. And, you know, Donner's famous for cannibalism.
Yeah, just a little. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a really pretty spot. And you're right. You know, you got it. If we were there if I was there to shoot a deer every year, I wouldn't hunt in California, number one, but two, to hang out with these guys and or my other group that goes with me and, you know, smoke cigars at night, have a little booze at night and just unplug for a few days is worth everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't even taken out my Savage 270 yet.
You got to get a hunting license before you do that, son.
Yeah, I know.
But.
I'll get around.
No,
to
we
it.
Do need to get it sighted in and shot.
Oh yeah.
Well, does it have a scope?
Yes, it does. Okay, and good. I have a year's membership over at Lincoln Rifle Club now.
Oh, congratulations.
I just haven't filled out the paperwork, but yeah.
Swear to God, if Scott kills a deer before Greg.
Scott damn near killed a deer before I did like 6 months ago with his Mercedes.
I mean, I'll count it.
I've hit more with my truck than Greg's seen.
True.
Well, see, my problem's this. If I do bag a deer, it has to be a secret.
I understand.
The problem is tiny wife, she grew up in Pennsylvania, and I hear this all the time. And even when we are first dating and we were talking about just talking about it, and she's just like, I always hated hunting because they used to have like the 10-year-old girls who would bag their first deer. Or the deer that are on top of cars, and I feel so bad and sad, and it's just horrible. And then when I went and bought my Savage 270, she's like, you better not kill a deer. I said, eh, it'll just be a secret. I'll just kill it. And it's like, these guys are going to get most of the meat. I just want a few steaks and I'm happy.
Rats with hooves.
Yes. 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 And you know where we should go is hunt with these boys in Utah because they're big deer up there.
Oh, yeah.
They also have elk.
Come get an elk. Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, you know, elk steak.
At 10,000 feet, though, you and I are probably going to die.
You could get you can get a moose tag, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all in for this.
Yeah, but then what am I going to do? Well, see, here's my thing.
Let me put it this way.
I'm not soft and squishy by any measure of the imagination. However,
you got somebody who can take it apart.
Yeah, but it's like, what good is a moose to me? I'm not going to trophy it, and I'm not really into moose meat, so it's like, what would I shoot it for?
Larry and I,
that would
and a few others would split.
Over the bar. What yes, are you it would. Talking about?
Yes, yes, he's right.
Over whose bar?
Your bar.
Anyone's.
You think that's going to go at my bar?
You never saw Shaitan. Steve Shaitan shot a moose in a little house. The freaking waddle of the moose was damn near touching the ground because the ceiling was so low.
I missed that cat.
Me too.
That wasn't the waddle. Just saying.
Oh, man. But yeah, I'm not allowed to kill anything. So like I said, it wouldn't be like me having a freezer full of deer meat. I'd basically
No, Harley does it for you.
Nah, Harley has a taste for bird murder.
Yep.
She's a bird murderer.
Mm-hmm. This is his fucking dog. This is dog number one. Harley, Hondo, and Hitler. It's a triplet. I'm going to get one. And if the fucking thing's worth $3,000, I'd just get one and throw it over the fucking fence. Hey, look, there's another one. Welcome home, buddy. Jesus Christ. You're lucky I'm cheap and poor.
Wait. I just realized
it's something. A match set.
Did you follow Bob Barker's advice? You have a male and a female.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I assumed you did, but also there is a non-zero chance that you show up one day. Hey,
guess what? I got puppies. What?
13 puppies to get rid of.
Oh, no. There's no chance of that. They've both been clipped.
These poor guys are sitting here going, why in the fuck did we sign on to this?
Not at all.
Yeah, not at all. Not quite as bad as a first pew at church, but close, huh?
Now they've just been
we have a deep appreciation for the stream of consciousness kind of thing.
They've been sitting there for the last 20 minutes trying to figure out if they can find a new building before I show up next year.
Yeah. I might be out there sooner than that.
Oh, they're fucked.
Yeah. So what are we thinking, guys? Should we let these guys go on about their evening?
Yeah.
I'm thinking so. Hey, man, big thank you for being on the show. It's always a pleasure. Look forward to you guys coming out here in June, you say?
Yeah, we'll be out there in June, the second week of June. Yep.
All right.
Sounds good.
We'll chat Ron up, see if we can't get something going at TR. And either way, man, we're going to hang out with you guys, have some food, have some drinks, smoke some cigars.
We'll bring some of the new blends for you guys to try.
Sounds good.
Bless you, sir.
I love it.
Before we go, quick production question from the gorilla, and I can clip this out. Does your guys' website have photo and info on all 8 of the mainline cigars?
It does.
Okay, cool. Then I don't need to get anything from you before the weekend. Awesome.
Oh, man. Gorilla Industries is all over it.
A gorilla is going to be gone for 3 days camping with the scout troop, so this is getting edited like Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, but I have faith in Gorilla Industries.
Oh, my.
I think you need an angel investor.
Hey. Fucking pump the brakes, homeboy.
Hey, there is an open collection plate for extra day added to the road trip to detour to Estes Park and pick up liquor for everyone. So
understood.
You don't say.
Awesome.
There's a transport and shipping fee for Gorilla Industries to bring you back apostate cigars and or Hogback distillery liquor.
Holy hey, you guys have dialed into the Hogback, haven't you?
I've had it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That rye.
We'll be free pouring some rye in June.
There's you got High West out here in Salt Lake too.
Yeah.
Wait, there's a distillery in Utah?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm impressed.
Your states are changing.
Yeah, there's some booze and plenty out here.
Yeah, we're almost a real state.
I don't know what all the rumors are about.
We do.
I love it. I love it. Hey man, that's why you see the real big spreads out there outside of Salt Lake. There's two broken wagon wheels down by the gate. That's because nobody set out for Salt Lake. That's just where the wagon stopped.
All right. Well, man, thank you again, man. We look forward to talking to you, and you know, I hope the listeners and viewers enjoyed our exchange.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for your support. Appreciate you too, brothers.
Take it easy, guys.
We'll see you soon.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Man, it's always fun talking to them.
Yeah,
I love it.
They got to be probably two of the most down-to-earth cats that we deal with, man. We talk to.
And
there's some good ones, you know. I don't want to put anybody else out, but those two guys, man, are always on point.
Yep.
They always got something cool coming around, and just great guys all the way around, man.
Oh yeah. Yeah, without a doubt, man. Hey, any final thoughts before Gorilla takes me home?
Good Lord, get yourself some Apostate cigars. Yeah. You really need to try them all.
Yeah, no joke, man. If you have not tried Apostate, with 8 out in the line now, I guarantee you there is something in your wheelhouse.
Get one of each. I'm absolutely serious. If you come across Apostate at your local brick and mortar, or if you've got to do mail order, absolutely, positively, I would get all 8 of them and just smoke them. I mean, okay, and I'm going to go a little off brand here, but Christoph, those 3 that you gave me from Christoph.
Oh, the Tres Cumpleaños was the one you smoked the other day.
Oh, yeah. It reminded me of that. Just no joke. Everyone I smoked, it's just kind of like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Wait, what? And then I smoked that one on Sunday.
Well, we need to, when John comes back around, we'll have him on the show and we'll smoke that one again. Because so everybody smoke it fine. We'll have John get us a couple more because the story behind it is pretty special too.
Yeah. Okay. Right on. I'm looking forward to hearing.
Yep. No, I think those are the two probably biggest movers and shakers, that we've been smoking lately. Apostate and Christoph have been hitting the ball hard.
Oh yeah. Glenn Case. Oh,
They've been hitting the ball hard.
Yeah.
A lot of great stuff coming out of both those houses.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, but back to Apostate.
Yeah,
absolutely. You're going to find something of theirs that's going to be in your wheelhouse.
I'm telling you, buy all 8.
Yep.
Just trust me. Buy all 8. You're going to love all 8. It's not like, well, this might not be in my wheelhouse. All of them, fantastic. The Candela. Oof. Yeah, but of course, you know, my favorite, you know, Nishator, this sort of Laban, fantastic. Great smoke.
Yep.
So, I mean, I can't say enough good things about Apostate.
And, you know, my go-to is always that Deseret. When it's like, I don't know what I want to smoke today, inevitably I gravitate toward that Deseret.
Yeah.
Because it just hits my palate.
Well, you know,
perfect.
You know that whatever time of day, whatever you've had to eat, mm-hmm. whatever you happen to be drinking, you know, if it's cold and rainy, if it's 105, that's going to be a solid cigar.
Oh, absolutely.
Every time. So, you know. Just perfect.
Yes. Yo, Gorilla, take me home. Well, as you can see, in this case, the cigar is actually down to the nub, and Scotch is empty, so I think it's about that time. Big thank you to Kendrick and Brandon over at Apostate Cigars. On behalf of Gorilla Industries, Gorilla, much love. Greg, Larry, and myself, thank you for listening. Check us out at LimCigarCartel.com. Like and share us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. I've been real remiss about posting on Instagram. I got to get better at it.
By the way,
yes,
not to interrupt your outro.
No, you're good. You're good, bro.
But 25,000 downloads, guys. Want to say thank you to everybody. We've really, you know, that's a great milestone. And here's to 25,000 more.
Absolutely. I love it. And that's just doing every other week.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a fantastic milestone. Great for us. I mean, we're up to probably 115 episodes at this point. So fantastic. Hey, thanks for sticking with us.
And stay tuned, by the way, another lounge roast next week.
Ooh, sweet. And we may have another guest.
Very good. We'll
talk about that off show. Stay tuned. You're going to hear a lot of fantastic stuff. I'm Scott Robinson, and on behalf of all of us here at Beyond the Humidor, look forward to chatting with you in the next episode.
There's your funky keyboard.
Damn right. But until then, as I always say, stay healthy and safe, and good smoke, good drink, and good life. Take care, everybody.